continue on in this series of how, you know, the coffee shop, how can I grow, PSAM? And so this is actually the last part of three messages, and then we'll get into other ones, but still in this kind of this series of just sitting down, having some coffee together. And so they're asking, how can I grow? And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, let's read this. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." If you look up, I have it on a couple different translations. This is the Living Bible. And he says, "It is God himself who made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others." Now, the Message translation says, "He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing." Oh, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for today. We thank you for Sunday, God. We thank you for bringing the body together to celebrate, to worship you, God, to sit at your feet, Lord, to learn, God, of your ways, God. And so we humble ourselves before the scriptures, God, and we ask you to speak to us through them. So right now we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to ear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately about it. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me just start off by saying something really simple. I'll give you 10 rules. It's not going to go long. It's going to be really quick. 10 rules for basically getting rid of the blues. You've been feeling down, you've been feeling sad, you've been feeling unappreciated, or, you know, all kinds of things that happen to people that live in the first world. Simple. 10 rules for getting rid of the blues. Number one, go out and do something for somebody else. Go out and do something for somebody else. And repeat it 9 times. I told you it's going to go really fast. That was the quickest 10 points ever. It's so simple. Do something for somebody else, and then repeat it 9 times. And I guarantee you, you won't feel down anymore. You won't have these blues that happen to us. 1 Peter 4:10, this is what he says. He says, "As each of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Every single one of us, we've received something from the Lord. Is there anyone in this room that has not received any gift or any ability from God? Of course, none of us. We've all received so much from the Lord. And so use the Lord says, to serve one another as good stewards. This is a stewardship that we have of all the stuff that God has given to us. It's so important. And so when we talk about, you know, PSAM, how can I grow? How do I get to this place? We talked about going deeper in God's Word. And it's important not just to read the Scriptures, but to meditate on the Scriptures. Day and night, allow the Scriptures, allow the Holy Spirit to really encapsulate that Word and sink deep within us. And it changes as a result. I talked last week about praying, and particularly what I find, I mean, personally for me, the greatest gift that God has ever given to me personally is praying in the Spirit. And by the way, we're going to pray today after the service for many of us who've never had that experience before. And then the third thing I say, by far, the best thing that you can do as a believer to really grow is to serve other people. Don't just serve ourselves, but serve other people. Galatians 5:13, Paul says, "You were called to freedom, brethren." In other words, we can do whatever we want. But he says, "Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You can do anything you want with all that you have. But he says, but let's serve one another through love. Love is the fountain and serving is the flowing stream of this. The word servant in the English New Testament is usually two different words that's used. The first word is the word doulos that we get, and it's the term bond servant. It's not just a servant, and if you understand in kind of the times, the Roman times, it's a bond servant. It's a little bit more. I mean, you're totally given over to the Lord in that way. And then it's sometimes also translated as diakonos. A diakonos is what we get the word minister for. And so I know we use the word pastor, but minister is another one of my titles. And the primary word for minister, which obviously ministry, is this simple word which means servant or deacon or minister. Interesting enough, one of the first mentions of diakonos in the scriptures is Acts chapter 6. And it's when the six guys are chosen, and the literal translation at that time was a table washer. And so the first ministers in the church, really the first deacons that came out, the diakonos, were actually the guys that set tables and cleaned up after the women and after the men when they ate the food. And so that's this idea. And both of these are accurate, because doulos and diakonos are synonyms. And both words have this connotation. They denote a man who is not at his own disposal, but is his master's purchased property. Now, I know we don't like to talk about slavery and those kind of facts. We're trying to eradicate slavery in the world today, but I want to talk about spiritually that we are slaves of Christ. Jesus bought us. He purchased us with his blood. And when we gave our life to the Lord and we called him Lord of our life, we basically set ourselves not only in a father-son relationship, but also in a master-slave relationship. And this is the doulos, the diakonos that we're talking about. We're bought to serve our master's needs, to be at his beck and call at every moment. And really, the slave's sole business is to do what he is told. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. It says, be a good slave of Christ, okay? Be a good slave of Christ. So, Christian service, when we're talking about this, therefore means first and foremost that we're living out this slave-servant relationship to our Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 says this, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Every single one of us, we've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. This life is no longer our own lives, but this life now belongs to the Father. It belongs to him, and whatever he asks us to do, it's really important that we recognize this. There's this really famous story about this famed economist, John Kenneth Galbraith. And he was in his autobiography, he wrote this story about the devotion of his family housekeeper. Her name was Emily Gloria Wilson. It's in his autobiography called A Life in Our Times. And it happened, he tells this story, it happened in this very weary day that he was very, very tired. And so he asked Emily, his housekeeper, to hold all of his calls that day while he went and took a nap. Shortly after this instruction, the President of the United States, Lyndon B. Johnson, called the House and talked to Emily and said, I need to speak to Kenneth Galbraith right now. Please get him on the phone. And so the housekeeper, Miss Wilson, told President Johnson, Mr. President, I cannot. He's sleeping right now. And and he was told, he gave me strict instructions not to disturb him. And Lyndon Johnson replied, well, wake him up. I need to talk to him. And this is what Emily Wilson responded. She said, no, Mr. President, I work for him, not for you. And so hung up the phone. So Kenneth Galbraith woke up after the nap, heard about this conversation, was horrified, ran to the White House, met with Lyndon Johnson, and this is what he says. He gets, when the president and they got back together, he writes in his autobiography, he said he could scarcely control his pleasure. And Lyndon Johnson responded, "Tell that woman I want her to work here in the White House." What's the point of a story? It's just a really, really good reminder that we work for God. Say that to your other neighbor. Say, "Hey, good looking. We work for God. Not for ourselves." This is the heart of serving. We work for God, not for ourselves. We exist for Him. In Acts 17, 28, the great message on Mars Hill, Paul is quoting a minor Greek poet, and he says, "For in Him we live and move and exist." Isn't that powerful? In Him we move and live and exist. We belong to God. We work for God. Many of us need to be reminded of this over and over and over again. We work for Him, not for ourselves. See, everything in our society teaches us to use our talents for ourselves. Make a lot of money with your talents. Retire early with your talents. Be comfortable and die. I mean, not the die part, but be comfortable, right? And that's the dream. It's, you know, God's blessed us with all these things, and use it for ourselves. Use it for our comfort. This is what the world is telling us. And God is saying, no, this is different. Use it for His glory. Man, I honestly come back to Hong Kong so feeling so rich. I basically got to spend 3 days with some of the most amazing people. I actually ran into my old TA at Fuller Seminary, and he was Dr. Wagner's TA. And so, you know, I run into him here and there, and so we sat down and said, "Man, what have you been doing, you know, these last 20 years? And I probably saw him 10 years before. Actually, I ran into him like 5 years ago at a coffee shop in Singapore. And just real briefly, and then, you know, he was praying throughout this conference. And I said, "What have you been doing?" And he says, "Well, you know," he's been going through, and then he shared this. He says, "Well, you know, we started this consulting company after, you know, I was pastoring, and God led me back into the marketplace. And we started this consulting company, and God was just blessing us. And so there were four partners of us, and we decided that we want to do kingdom work." This is what he says. "We're praying one day, and all of a sudden, God spoke to us all individually about James 1:27. You know, this is pure undefiled religion to care for widows and orphans and you know, and others in distress." And so all of them individually, and they said, "We're going to start a kingdom business." And this is what they decided to do. They decided that they're going to cap their salary at $250,000 a year, which is pretty good salary. I mean, you know, but they're going to cap it. They're going to cap their salary, all four partners, at $250,000, and everything else they're going to give to the kingdom. And he told me, and says, and God just blessed their business. They had so much business coming in. He did this for 11 years, and after 11 years, they gave away $44 million for the kingdom of God. And I was like, dude, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. I sat with another guy, and some of you guys that went to men's retreat a few years ago, the Generosity Conference, remember the video we saw of Alan Barnhart? Well, Alan spoke just before I came up and spoke. And so Alan, I mean, just amazing. Here's this guy, and he started this basically moving company. He moves heavy equipment. And God just began to bless him. And so he capped his salary, and everything else basically just gave to the kingdom of God and all different works all over the world. And he's been, I think, 25 years his company has been in existence. Now the company is in such a place of success, they give away $1 million a month right now for the kingdom of God. And over the last, I think it's the last 10 years or so, they've given away $100 million for the kingdom. He says that we don't need to you know, be billionaires, and we're just going to get a standard of living, and we're going to keep it, we're going to cap it, and everything else goes to God. To so much the effect that he actually turned his whole company over. They put it in a trust, and now the whole company belongs to God. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You'd imagine why I feel so full. And just spending the whole, you know, last 3 days just rubbing into people that recognize this, that, man, they work for God. That they're God's property. You know, the gentleman that actually invited me, when I spoke at the generosity event here in Hong Kong, he was sitting at our table, and my wife and I, we just hit it off with this guy. And he's an Indian gentleman in Chennai, and he runs one of the largest HR companies in all of India. And same, cap their living, and everything else goes to the kingdom. And his whole company's involved in this thing. And the whole, I mean, can you imagine his whole executive team and guys are just fighting each other to see who can give away the most money to the Lord. Company profits and their personal, it's absolutely amazing. People that recognize, man, this life that God has given to us is a gift. And for us to merely spend our life on ourselves, me, myself, and I, would be an absolute travesty, would be bad stewardship of all that God has given to us. I'm going to, over the course of your, trust me, I'm going to invite these guys over to our church to speak, and so we can catch this vision of kingdom living, of gospel lifestyle. There was another guy that spoke. He's a 26-year-old, a guy from the U.K., and I mean, I've never seen a more energetic guy. He's a doctor, and while he was going to church, he happened to go to a missions meeting where an Indian pastor came and shared about India, and he was just so jazzed by this because he grew up, his parents would read him books about missionaries, and he thought that's the greatest thing in the world that anyone can do. And so he basically heard that the gospel needs to be sent all over these villages, places where they never heard the gospel. And he says, and the pastor just told him, well, you know, we have these workers, but we can't do it. And all it costs is basically £50 a month to support an Indian worker to go out to the unreached, the poorest of the poor, and share the gospel. And he thought, what? You guys can't do it for £50? It's like ridiculous. And so he goes back, finishes med school, and becomes a doctor, and just basically works like a dog, you know, just to provide funds for the gospel to be spread all over India. I mean, just amazing. You know, there was a little video that we saw, and the guy, like, refused to buy clothes. You know, he's got shoes, and he's duct taping his shoes. I mean, just so committed to this cause, and I mean, so challenging. And people that just recognize that, man, my life is not my own. I'm a doulos. I'm a diakonos. I'm a servant of the Lord. This is not my life. This life belongs to God. I mean, it's so amazing. I tell you, when they get to heaven, wow. You know what I mean? Wow. You know, what God has in store for them. And I mean, it's amazing. And when we think about this and we hear these kinds of stories, brothers and sisters, isn't it kind of crazy cheap and just not good stewardship to take everything that God's given to us and just use it for ourselves? Me, myself, and I, and my family. I mean, it's kind of lame, isn't it? I mean, am I just speaking to myself? You guys understand what I'm saying? It's just kind of empty. And yet we recognize that. I mean, we come into moments where we have all these things, and even having all these possessions, it doesn't make us any happier. In fact, it just stresses us out more. Because the moment you get it, someone else has got something better. And no matter the nice car, there's a new model coming out the next year. And I mean, it doesn't matter what you, it's always something going to be better, and more and more and more. And it leads us into this spiral of not, I mean, not just discomfort, but angst that happens. Right? This life can't just be about make a lot of money and retire early. And just be happy in that way. I mean, it's good. You know, I'm not saying it's good. But if we just do everything for ourselves, what's the point here? But we know deep down inside, we know that as children of God, we're made for so much more than this. There's something inside of us that calls out to us. It's the Holy Spirit. Man, we may have covered it up with different fears and all these things that happen, but it's still there. It's a desire in us to make a difference. Every single one of us, we have that because Holy Spirit resides in us. See, first things first, we have been created by God to serve Him, not to serve ourselves. As a Christ follower, I exist to serve my Master. Unfortunately, what we find in the world and also in the church is simply people who just want to be served. That's becomes the gist of it. And I know we live in Hong Kong and, you know, with our helpers and our drivers, and, you know, it does dull us into this serve me mentality. And we got to break out. I mean, we just got to break out of this. You know, one of the funniest things that ever happened in Hong, here at church, I mean, I'm probably shared this before, but, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of Hong Kong people because I'm a Hong Kong person now. But, you know, we've had some people that just grew up with helpers their whole life and just don't know how to do any manual labor at all. And so, you know, in house church, you know, we have people that serve the church by cleaning up afterwards. And so this, man, I still don't know who this guy is. And I don't want anyone to tell me because, you know, I still want to have a good image and things. But, you know, with this funny story, one of the guys, and he was mopping the floors. And so, you know, he did it right. He got the mop, got the water and everything. But he started mopping the carpet instead of the wood, and just never mopped in his life, you know, just never needed to. He just grew up with all these helpers and drivers and things, and so sad, right? So sad. I think, you know, growing up in the U.S., I mean, it's like, you know, I had a paper route, I mowed the grass, I had to take out the trash. I mean, just simple things that my kids will never get to experience, you know, in this way. I mean, we make them do other stuff, but, I mean, it's just a kind of a different way of living our lives. But, you know, we can very easily in Hong Kong be dulled into this serve me mentality. It's so easy to get into this. And, I mean, it's, I'm just, you know, I first want to raise my hand. It's so easy. But we got to break out of this stuff. We need to break out of it. I want to talk about serving. How can you really grow? Start serving. Start serving other people. Why? Number one, I just have three simple points today. Number one, because serving mirrors Christ. Serving mirrors Christ. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus shows his disciples that he came to serve by washing their dirty feet. Serving sometimes is not so clean. It's not so tidy. Sometimes we do need to get our hands dirty. Sometimes it's tough. But we need to be like Jesus and serve others. We need to get our hands dirty like Jesus did. He says, look, Jesus, he says, man, I didn't come to this world to be served. I came to serve. And then in John, he shows them just this incredible illustration by getting on his knees and just washing dirty Middle Eastern men's feet. I mean, that's crazy. And he shows us how that we should also live our lives. Our lives should be marked by servanthood. If you are a Christ follower and our whole idea is here to be like him, then part of that is you need to be serving. You need to be serving in some capacity. You need to be serving in church in some capacity. If you're a member of Solomon's Porch, you need to move beyond attending. You need to move beyond just going to house church. You need to get your hands dirty and start serving, because that's what Jesus does. Serving mirrors Christ. Number two, serving brings divine honor and approval. serving brings divine honor and approval. John 12:26, he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Isn't that great? I mean, just thinking about it. I know there's a few people after service today, you're going to come and you're going to vacuum the sanctuary, and you're going to put the Bibles away, even though, honestly, you should put your own Bible away. Amen? Right? You should be able to take your own paper, the bulletin, and if you didn't use it, you could put it back on the table back there. You know, you're a grown-ass man and a grown-ass woman. Amen? You can do this kind of stuff. And so you don't have to, you know, let, I mean, just simple things. I'm not upset about that. I just like to use language sometimes, you know, to get my point across. But, I mean, it's just kind of simple things that you can serve yourself, you know, and serve the church by doing simple things like that. But some of us will come in and we'll clean up, and, you know, some of us will serve refreshments later on, not in this service. In fact, you know, some of you guys that come to this service, you can easily volunteer and say, you know what, I'll bring refreshments, even though it's not on the house church roster. Let me serve the church by doing that. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can do that. But there's all kinds of avenues, you know, by this happens. And then the crazy thing is guys are going to come in and they're just going to, you know, vacuum and put some stuff away and clean the chairs. And the Bible says that God will honor them. Isn't that cool? I mean, you vacuum at home, you're not going to get no honor. Maybe from your spouse, right? It's a nice thing to do. But you do it unto the Lord. Isn't that amazing? God says he'll honor you because of that service. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how this works. It brings divine honor. Romans 14:18 says, for he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. You serve the Lord, you serve his house, you serve the kingdom, man, you get divine approval. You said that it is acceptable to God and approved by men. What a great deal. I mean, that is a great deal. You know what I mean? I mean, you just serve, and it's not like we're not asking for back-breaking stuff. And some of us may do that, maybe on a mission trip or in other avenues. But man, you serve and you receive approval from God and honor. And I'm sorry, acceptance from God and approval by men. Isn't that great? I know some of you guys over this weekend went out and served an outreach and went and ministered to the poor. Wow. What you did and the way you went about it, you have made yourself acceptable to Christ. And you've been approved by men. That is a great deal. Simple serving, it brings divine honor and approval from the Father. You get that seal of approval that says, man, you're a good son in that way. Serving mirrors Christ. Serving brings divine honor and approval. The last one, serving is the stepping stone for greater things. Serving is a stepping stone for greater things. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, he says, it is not so, or not this way among you. Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. I know a lot of times we focus on the servant part, but we forget the first part. If you want to be great, you start off by being a servant. I mentioned in the beginning of my talk about Acts chapter 6. Let me go back to that passage. In Acts 6, there's a dispute that breaks out between the native Jews and the Hellenistic Jews. Hellenistic Jews, just meaning the Jews that became more Romanized during that time. It would be like here in Hong Kong, that there would be like Hong Kong people like that only speak Cantonese and nothing else, and then like Hong Kong people that were maybe live abroad or educated abroad and they speak English, and so there's the native Hong Kong, even though, I mean, everyone's Chinese, native Hong Kong people, and then there's kind of the more international kind of Hong Kong people. And so in that way, conflicts happen, just like Hong Kong people and mainland people, right? Still Chinese people, but conflicts happen. Upbringing's a little different. And so these are the native Jews and the Hellenistic Jews. And so they basically, the Hellenistic Jews, the more the second generation Jews, they were being neglected. Their widows were being neglected in the serving of the food, in the breaking of the bread. And so a big fight began to arise during this time. And so it led the apostles to basically designate seven men to become, the first time the word become deacons of the church, diakonos. And they came and they were serving the house in that way. And they were called to be deacons. And again, I said, the exact job description was washing tables. And so the deacons, the first ministers, the first kind of class of church or hierarchy of church people, these deacons that came out, and their job was merely to help serve the food. And then after they ate, to clean the tables and wash the tables for the next round of people to come, serve the food, wash tables. And that was the first ministers that arose in the church during that time. But I want to focus on one of them. His name was Stephen. And Stephen was chosen. And so look at Stephen's life. I mean, this is great. If you want to be great, you should be a servant. And so he starts off being a servant. He starts off washing tables. Next thing we hear about him in Acts 6, and next thing we know in verse 8, he's doing signs and wonders. I mean, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, it's true what the Bible says, be faithful in the little things, and you will be entrusted with much. And so he was faithful. I mean, he had good, hand motion. You know, remember Karate Kid, wax on, wax off. He did really well with that, and he was able to wash the tables really well. And then he was elevated, and next thing you know, in verse 8, he does signs and wonders. And then in verse 10, the Bible says he's full of wisdom and the Spirit. And so he continues to increase. And then in verse 55, he sees the glory of God. He actually sees Jesus. And then this is, many of us may not be too happy about this part, but then in verse 60, he becomes the first martyr of the church. And he dies, but think about this. He dies by forgiving those that are murdering him. It's pretty amazing. That's verse 60. And you see this way, and if you really look at this, he mirrors Christ. I mean, everything he does, full of wisdom, full of the Spirit, the same thing that's said about Jesus. He forgives those that are basically stoning him, just like he becomes like Jesus. Maybe the pathway to becoming like Christ is by serving. Stephen does all this stuff. It starts off by washing tables. We say, Pastor Sam, this is so insignificant, vacuuming the church or picking up bulletins on the chairs, or bringing in food for refreshments, or cleaning the lobby, or going on outreach. All these different things, I'll tell you, they have a tremendous impact. Tremendous impact. It's a setup. God's stirring something in us. He's doing something, and he's going to bring that elevation and that promotion. Not that we do it just for that, but it's just heaven's glorious afterthought that he would bless us with promotion in this way. His serving is a stepping stone for greater things. We see that in Stephen's life. It just simply starts by washing tables. The reality for us as a church is that we cannot have fruitful ministry without you. We cannot have fruitful ministry. We cannot be the church that God wants us to be without everybody pitching in. And it's not just the pastors and the staff doing all of this stuff. If you remember very clearly, the Bible tells us exactly how we're supposed to operate in a church. Ephesians lays it out very clearly that God calls apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, all these things basically for the equipping of the saints. And so that you as people would do the work of service to the body. And so that's our role is not to do everything. Our role is to train, equip, and bring opportunities. And the church, you, all of you, are the ones that get to build the house. And what an incredible privilege that is. And so it's time that we do take responsibility over this house, that we get involved, that we be like Jesus, we become sons and daughters of God. of the house. We make a difference, and as a result, the byproduct of that is spiritual growth. Is spiritual growth. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't be worried about your giftedness. Don't be worried about your giftedness. Right? God is not so much interested in your abilities. God, He'll give you that. Don't worry. Right? He is interested in your availability. He will provide exactly what you need. Let me close by saying this. Listen, you can never be too small for God to use you, only too big. And all we can offer is our availability. But you say, oh, P. Sam, I got small kids. You know, I've got a baby. You got a baby, you get some time off, okay? Honestly, you know, this is what I learned in ministry. When people have babies, for the first year, we're not going to bother you, okay? Please take care of your baby, right? Please take care of your baby well. After the first year, let's get back on it, you know? I mean, let's get back on it. There are so many people in this house that despite children and all kinds of different, you know, places in their life, they still served. They still served. You know, and honestly, that becomes a very poor excuse for that. Because God has given us so much that there's so many things that we can contribute. And again, don't be so concerned about, well, I'm not gifted. Listen, you don't have to be gifted to move a vacuum cleaner. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but you don't have to be so gifted to give someone a bulletin and smile. You know, shake a hand, you know, give a hug, say, how are you doing? I mean, I know some of you guys are really bad at that, and so there's other ministries that you can get involved in. I mean, we got to be real, right? I mean, some of you guys are just scary looking at you. And so I wouldn't want to be greeted by you either. Myself included, I'll be the first one to say that. And so, but there's other things, but man, just get involved. Again, you can never be too small for God to use you, only too big. Let me close with this illustration. In 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe called Pioneer 10. And according to an article in Time magazine, the satellite's primary purpose was to reach Jupiter, basically to photograph the planet and its moons and then beam the data back to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, its radiation belts, its atmosphere, you know, all this space stuff. Scientists regarded this as a really bold plan way back in the 70s. And at that time, no Earth satellite had ever gone beyond Mars. And they feared that the asteroid belt would destroy the satellite before it could reach its target. But Pioneer 10, I mean, this little, it became known in the States as the little satellite that could. And this little satellite, when it was launched, swang past the giant planet in November 1973. Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 in a higher rate of speed toward the edge of the solar system. It hurtled at 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At 2 billion miles, it hurtled past Uranus. It hurtled past Neptune at 3 billion miles. Pluto at almost 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signal to scientists on Earth. And this is the journalist said this. He says, perhaps the most remarkable thing about Pioneer 10, those signals that were coming back to Earth emanate from an 8-watt transmitter. 8-watt transmitter. To understand what that is, that's about the voltage of a nightlight that we have at home. I mean, this thing for 25 years was transmitting 8-watt light, basically a light bulb, and they called it the little satellite that could. Was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers were just amazed at this. They thought that the Pioneer 10 would last about 3 years, but this thing kept going and going and going. And this this tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone ever thought that it could. By the way, those transmissions would take nine hours to reach the earth. This little 8-watt light bulb. So, what's the illustration here? Brothers and sisters, when we offer up our lives to the Lord and we serve the Lord, God can work even through people that have 8-watt abilities. Some of us are here saying, man, I don't have much to offer the Lord. I can't really do much. I'm not that skilled. I'm not that gifted. I just have 8-watt power. That's all I have. I have power just for a little light bulb. Remember, you can never be too small for God to use you, only too big. And God will take whatever we offer him, and he'll turn it into something beautiful. And he'll turn us into something beautiful because we start doing for others instead of for ourselves. Amen? Let's close our eyes. God's not interested in your ability, just your availability. Well, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. How are you serving others? Remember our theme from last year and the first part of this year. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard others as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ came to this earth to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. And if our goal is to be like him, serving has to be part of our DNA. I'm not talking about just serving church, but serving in your family, serving in your workplace. And serving means not getting, expecting anything back. That we get out of this mentality of me, serve me. It's ugly. It does not befit a Christ follower. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if you're a part of this church and you just attend, you don't serve in any capacity, when you leave the sanctuary today, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Just put your name down. Put your name, your email, real simple. You can write a few things that maybe you're good at or you may be interested in. But you don't have to write anything. We'll find a place for you. So you can live out your God-mandated privilege to be like Jesus and serve. And so we're just going to have Aaron just sing a song right now. Just going to invite you, just on this topic, we're going to switch topics drastically in a moment. But right now, just converse with the Father about our serving. How can we grow? By serving others. Go ahead, Aaron.
Washed away in the wind. sing, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, all who thirsty.
So let the Holy Spirit speak to you about a life of service to the Lord. You and I, we are doulos. We are diakonios. We belong to God. And we're at His beck and call, not our own. And let's get out of a serve me mentality. Let's get out of our self-centeredness. And let's become like Jesus and serve. Amen. All right, I'm going to shift right now. So I mentioned last week that we're going to pray for those that maybe have never received their prayer language, and we wanted you to just spend this week and just going before the Lord and looking at Scripture. If you're unsettled on this topic, and hopefully it's okay because I didn't receive any emails this week, and so that means that you agree with everything that I said. Hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. Maybe not, you can talk to me after service. And it's okay if you don't. I mean, you don't have to agree with everything I say, by the way. 99% is okay, 1% maybe not. But, all right, so let's bring the anointing back. And so, let's just pray today. And if you're here in this house, and you listen to the message, and you're curious, and you know, you'd like someone to pray for you to receive your prayer language. Like I said, it may happen, it may not. You know, I got prayed for about 6-7 times, nothing. And then when I was praying by myself, all of a sudden, bam. You know, I mean, it's just crazy how this works. It's a mystery, mysterion. And so, but we're going to pray because all we know to do is to be faithful to ask. That's all we knew, right? We just ask and we pray and we lay hands. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. So we're going to do that. So it's our job. It's the Spirit's job to release either here, and we're praying right now, or at another time. And so if that's where you're at, I want you to come, and we're going to pray for you together as a church. And we're going to ask people to come around you and also support you in that as well. And so if you're here and you want to pray in your prayer language, I want you to come up to the front, and we're going to pray for you and ask the Lord to release in your life. Amen? Why don't we come? Anyone? Come on up. Let's go, church. Let's have some fun. You can lead us, huh? Why don't we stand to our feet and let's sing this together? All right, we're going to pray. I want to just give you some simple instruction, okay? Number one, that this is a gift. And so it's not by any merit. You know, it's not because you're good, or it's just God's blessing. It's grace. It's interesting that gift and grace is actually the same exact word in Greek. It's the word charis. And so this is God's gift to you. And so you just receive it. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to just come over you It's going to be a fun time, and if anything, you're just going to feel just the love of God. Now, you don't have to repeat anything, right? There's no phraseology. You don't have to say hallelujah 10 times. That's just bogus. But what happens is, the Bible tells us, it's like rivers of living water that stream up from within us. And so there's some faith that's required in us, and that's it's breath. It's wind, right? That's the Spirit. And so you have to say something, but don't manufacture anything. Just let the rivers of living water flow from your belly, and you'll feel it. And so, and we're just going to pray. I'm going to ask others to come up to the front as well, and especially that if God's giving you language, you can just pray over them too in this way. And we're just going to ask God just to love on them. You know, and even if our friends today, this is what I always say, even if they may not get it right now, they will eventually, but they're going to feel loved. And that's really our goal more than anything else. You're going to feel the love of God over you. And so why don't we come, and Aaron's going to continue to lead us in singing. Let's just lay hands, and that's what the Bible tells us to do. Lay hands to fan the flame of the gifts that's within them. We're just going to ask the Lord to release in their life. And it's just precious that they've come and just made themselves vulnerable in this space. And let's just lift them up. Everyone else, let's stretch out our hands, and we can just fill this place with worship, the adoration of Jesus Christ. That's the platform by which His gifts grow. Well, let's just pray for our friends.
Spirit.
We're going to continue to pray for our friends here. And you guys that are here, I mean, I want to encourage you guys that are praying, man, if you have a word, a prophetic word, you know, go for it. Just begin to just pray over them and do whatever. Let me dismiss the rest of us here so we can grab our kids. And Lord, we just thank you, God. Thank you that you have gifted us, God. Thank you that you've given us abilities, God, the acquired traits, Lord. And you want to use all these things, God. Lord, not just for ourselves, Lord. Some of it's for ourselves, God. We recognize that, Lord. But God, but for the benefit of others, Lord. And so would you teach us to be a church, God, that loves others, that serves, Lord. Teach us to get out of this Hong Kong me mentality, God. Lord, and just lead us, Lord, to be servants, to be doulos, diakonos, Lord. We belong to you, God. And so teach us, Father. And we thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, in this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Please go quietly. Let's continue to pray for our friends. Anyone else wants to join us? Let's just kind of lift up.